I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you try to please or appease with your prayers? Please or appease? Let's sum up last Sunday. Our Father expects us to partner up and pray. We're required, in fact, to do our part. And for our part, we need to know His Word so that we can reach out in faith and hope in His promises without pushing and shoving. Remember all people pushing and shoving toward Jesus? Without pushing and shoving for our own agenda. And then we must learn to trust His answers as we come to understand them. Okay, I say all that because I want to add something onto that. I'll just add right here that, you know, He only has the three answers. Yes, no, and yes, but not yet. That last one there, that last one is the most difficult to recognize. We can usually only know it in hindsight. And we mostly mistake it for no. So, we should treat every apparent no when we're praying and it looks like a no, treat it as though it's a yes, but not yet. Until we know that we know it's a no. This is quite often the case when praying for healing, and people have, in the Q&A, brought up a lot about persistent prayer. This is persistent prayer. You pray as though it's a yes, but not yet, until you know that you know it's a no. And don't view a no as though He didn't answer. Trust that He did. No matter how much you dislike what that answer was, but when it's obvious that it was a no, trust that that was His answer and that He did what He did for the eternal best of each and everyone. Your prayer didn't fail. Can't if you're a believer praying sincerely. You just now know He said no. And so, we must be reverent, but without pretense, right? Know these and thous, we talked about that. Know these and thous are King James's. And we must be persistent without being pushy. And we must not pray harder, but truer and sincerer. Is sincerer a word? I think it is. It's a weird one though. And true sincerity is radical and requires practice. We kind of default to the old religious prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. God is great. God is good. What are the first things a good coach will do when training those under his care or her care? But I'm going to parallel it to Jesus. That's why I say is to help them unlearn what they've been doing wrong. Right? Good coach. Okay. Got to identify. Get it out of you, which is exactly what Jesus does when He teaches His 12 to pray His way. Matthew 6:7, He says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Okay, and as you know, last Sunday and this Sunday, we said we're digging deeper into the commands that Jesus gives as warnings as part of the Lord's Prayer guide. And so we saw that pagans in Jesus' day, pagans, voice is changing, and you're very excited about it. It's always been too high. Pagans in Jesus' day recited formulaic prayers in order to appease and control and manipulate their otherwise uncaring and indifferent gods. It wasn't about faith or personal connection. It was strictly business. I offer this so that you'll do that. So here's a question. Why would Jesus warn his 12 young apprentices to not keep on babbling like pagans? Because they were babbling like pagans. And he wanted them to please not keep doing that. You guys got it all wrong. We need to unlearn something. This is the 12 apostles we're talking about. So I guess you and I, we better beware that believers can unintentionally adopt what Jesus would call a pagan perspective on prayer. In a well-meaning, these are not, it's a well-meaning, just misguided attempt to, you know, make our prayers more effective. But sadly, it only makes them more offensive by unwittingly attempting to appease rather than to please our loving dad. Obvious observation. Jesus' apostles were Jews. And therefore, there is a 10-minute prayer that they prayed religiously 3 times a day, 5 days a week, wrapped in their tallit. We looked at it last week, their private place for prayer. We took an in-depth look at this little tabernacle because Jesus said, and I'm taking this reading from the Passion Translation because I really like it, but it's what we already read, but in a different way. He says, whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God, praying to Him in secret. There is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God. And then he teaches them a series of phrases that we call the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is a format, not a formula. Big difference there. That's why Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray, rather than in these words. He's not praying. When he's our Father, he's not praying. He's teaching a format for prayer. They said, teach us how to pray. They didn't say, teach us a prayer. It is the Lord's easily memorized prayer guide. And it must be seriously personalized in order to work, you know, the way our Lord and trainer intended. Oh, he's into heartfelt formats. Not mechanical formulas. Now, about this 10-minute memorized prayer that they prayed 15 times a week, it's called the Amida. And it's the central prayer of a Jewish religious life. And it predates Jesus. The word Amida means standing. And it's recited while standing, feet firmly together, facing Jerusalem. So just a side note, any idea which direction Jerusalem is? Well, it just happens to be 6,722 miles that way. Oh, I'm pointing, I guess you don't know. I'm pointing northeast, just off a little northeast there. You just go through Wickersham and then Maple Falls, Cultus Lake, Chilliwack, Alberta, Greenland, Sweden, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, Ukraine, Moldova, the Black Sea, Turkey, Cyprus, the Mediterranean, and poof, you're there. It's 54 round trips to Seattle. Now the Amida overflows with incredibly meaningful scriptural quotations and allusions, and it is a beautiful contemplation. In fact, it was intended to cover all our bases with God. But 15 times a week? And if you missed one, well, you did it twice the next time because you didn't miss one. 780 times a year year after year can really take its toll. And so many would, especially young men, old boys, many would and still do, rattle through it as quickly as babbleable, focusing on the act and not the attitude, and thus allowing their prayer life to be driven into tedious, monotonous, pagan-esque repetition. Jesus said, they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Is He trying to talk him out of praying? Heavens no. He's trying to talk him out of talking. He's not saying to pray less. He's saying to speak less. And that can sound confusing if you confuse praying with speaking. But listening prayer is way better than speaking prayer, according to Scripture. Check out Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Love this verse. Preacher says, to draw near to God to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Wow. Wow. There's an unfortunate, sobering synonym for speaking at God in prayer, the sacrifice of fools. Okay, go on. For they do not know that they are doing evil. Wow, again, doing evil. Okay, be not rash with your mouth, because let's face it, rash mouth isn't pleasant for anyone involved. Nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. Yeah, let alone whole sentences of them strung together. For God, oh, here we come, our Father in heaven. For God is in heaven and you are on earth, as in our Father in heaven. It's not that we're not supposed to talk. Just therefore, let your words be few. You see, our words are best, and they are enjoyed by our Father, but they're best enjoyed in small amounts, like sin. You ever try that stuff? Little goes a long way. It's called the breathtaking refreshment. I like to keep things current for the kids. I don't think they've made it for about 40 years, but my grandpa gave me some one time. It's just always stuck with me. A little goes a long way, like our words. How ironic that the Amida begins, Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. It sounds good. But then it's off to the races for 10 minutes. You know, Dad often says in his word, he who has ears, let him hear. But I gotta say, I've yet to read, he who has lips, let him speak. Doesn't seem to be something he's really wanted to say. You know, what's the old expression? If you want to be seen, stand up. And if you want to be heard, speak up. But if you want to be appreciated, sit down and shut up. That's not from the Bible, but boy, there's a lot of truth in it, huh? I mean, you've been around people, right? That's kind of what the preacher and Jesus are saying. What do you call a friend who won't listen? Who calls a friend who won't listen? No, they won't listen. If we're going to respond to Dad's call, we better be the listening type. Well, okay, back to the Amida. Besides the thrice daily Amida, there were prayers for waking and washing and eating and finishing eating. There were morning blessings and evening blessings, bedtime blessings. There were weekend prayers, holiday prayers, special prayers for everything from seeing a rainbow to receiving bad news. It isn't that the boys didn't know how to talk to God. They didn't know how to stop. And that's our problem. We don't know how to stop. How to slow down. Be still. Listen. It isn't God who changes through prayer. It's us. And that's why listening prayer should take up the lion's share of the time we spend enjoying Dad's company. He speaks through His Word, through His Spirit, through His people. So when exactly do you allow our Dad to speak? And when you pray, how much time do you spend learning His words? And then listening for His conviction and correction and comfort and impression and guidance and discernment and wisdom. Well, shut up and pray already. Our prayer life, as well as our relationship with the Lord, will flourish far more through listening to than talking at. So you need to find a way to get away to wherever listening to the Lord is most conducive for you, like this, or 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 this. You know, I could go on all day. These are all great ways. I just want to give you a sample. All great ways to get away and pray by listening and reflecting. Now, about that Amida, we should know what it's all about. You know why? Because the Lord's Prayer Guide, the LPG, is an astonishingly abbreviated version of the Amida. And it was given by Jesus as an antidote to what, for many, was practiced as an impersonal, memorized prayer ritual. How could it not be? In fact, it's hard to comprehend how shockingly Jesus knocks the religion right out of that 18-part Amida, 18 sections. For instance, let me clear my throat and get ready. If you will allow me to babble just one part for a bit, I just want to show you that Jesus takes this. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God and God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and revered God, the most high God who bestows loving kindnesses, the creator of all, who recalls the good deeds of the fathers and who brings a redeemer to their children's children for His name's sake in love. O King, helper, savior, and shield. Blessed are you, O Lord, the shield of Abraham. You, O Lord, are mighty forever. You are the reviver of the dead. You are greatly able to save. You sustain the living in loving kindness. You revive the dead with great compassion. You support the falling, heal the sick, set free the bound, and keep faith with those who sleep in the dust. Who is like you, O master of mighty deeds? Who compares to you? A king who puts to death and restores to life and brings forth salvation, and you are faithful to revive the dead. Blessed are you, O Lord, who revives the dead. You are holy, and your name is holy, and your holy ones praise you every day. Blessed are you, Adonai, the God who is holy. And he reduces it to this, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what he does with that section. 214 words radically reduced to 4 words that can connect heart and mind far more efficiently and effectively than thrice daily praying beat the clock. Yeah, when it comes to regurgitated prayer, Dad would rather hear 4 heartfelt words of affection. Especially while fishing. He's always fond of that. He's always hanging out with the fishermen. And now, to Jesus' flabbergasted apprentice's utter disbelief, he goes on to edit the entirety of the Amidah to about 30 seconds, leaving him, you know, 9.5 minutes. Everyone else is still talking. They're under that wrap. They got 9.5 minutes to personalize and listen. And the Lord's Prayer Guide, it guides us through Dad's biggest questions that I think he would ask us when we're all alone. Like, who am I to you? Our Father. Yes, I'm your dad. And you need to think of me that way. But where am I? In heaven. That's right. I'm above all in power and authority and holiness. How can you keep that in mind as well? Hallowed be thy name. So then, what's your first and foremost focus? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And where is my kingdom? And what is my will? Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and do not worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. So true. So true. So what are your top three needs, say, for today? Well, give us this day our daily bread. Done. And what's more important than food? Forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. You confess them. You be sincere. I'll forgive them. Just like that. But what's our deal? Oh, as we forgive our debtors. Exactly. Anyone we need to talk about here in particular? And what's more important than forgiveness? Well, do not lead us into temptation. And when you ignore my lead, deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to need a lot more specifics on each of these, but still let your words be few. Be succinct. Be sincere. It's only your heart I want to hear. Now, why are you coming to me? Oh, well, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You better believe it. Amen. So, what do you want to do now? Hi, how about we crack open this book I wrote and you get to know your dear old dad who created heaven and earth and holds life and death in his hands. What do you say you shut up and pray? You see, we need to learn to discern when to zip our lip. For instance, when we confess our sin, it's very important that we then be still and quiet in order to hear what the Spirit says in our heart. Not only for reassurance, but also for that little voice that tells us how we now need to proceed in light of it. Unlike the religious rulers who always found a way of making things too difficult, Jesus had a way of making things seem too simple, too easy. And oddly enough, that's a lot of our problem with prayer. Legalism tells us that God likes it more when we like it less. So we do our best to make it difficult for ourselves and then feel guilty for wanting to avoid it or babble our way through it. But it's always about the heart. And as you know, the heart is often best expressed without words. So anytime, anywhere, in any way that you're allowing Him to speak to you, you're praying. And that's how we can cast our cares while casting our line. Believe it or not, that's offering the sacrifice of the wise. And that's pleasing rather than appeasing our Father. And that's about as far from babbling as thou canst getteth. So let's pray together. You ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.